One of the greatest dangers that we face in ministry is the deadly temptation of comparing ourselves to someone else in the ministry. Such a comparison will eat our lunch if we ever start to say to ourselves, well, his church is bigger, his elders are better, his city is larger, his climate is warmer, his sanctuary is prettier, his giving is stronger, his congregation is more appreciative. You know what? You and I only see the outside, and we really do not know what lurks on the inside of those places. And the truth be known, they would be as tempted to trade places with you as you with them, and neither one realize what actually awaits the other one on the other side of the wall. You know why the grass is greener on the other side? There's more manure on the other side. That's why the grass is greener over there. Listen, we are not to run someone else's race. God has a race for you to run. God has a race for me to run. It is as individual and personal as each and every one of us. And we cannot try to begin to run someone else's life and go hop on their track and begin to compare our giftedness, our lack of giftedness, whatever they have going on. No, you follow me. That is all the Lord wants. He wants us to be focused on Him. No two paths are the same in ministry. No two places are the same where He has called us to serve. Each one of us must run the race that is set before us. Jesus, it is said, or the author of Hebrews, writes in Hebrews 12, verse 2, that we are to be fixing our eyes on Jesus. Literally in the Greek, it means looking away from, looking to Jesus. It is a negative denial and a positive assertion. As we get on the track and as we run the race that God has before us, we cannot be looking at the other runners in the lanes around us. We cannot be looking behind us. We cannot be looking up into the grandstands to see who is there or who is not there. We must be riveted and focused upon the finish line where the Lord Jesus Christ is standing and be focused on Him. And as we look to Him, there is strength and grace that surges through our soul, and we are made strong in the Lord. So verse 23, therefore, this saying went out among the brethren that that disciple would not die. See, they even had rumors back in the first century about pastors and preachers and all of the rest. And how that got out, who is to say who the talebearers were that began to spread that John will never die and John will be alive when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. That's not what Jesus said. And John now clarifies what Jesus said at the end of verse 23. Yet Jesus did not say to him, the him is John himself, that he would not die, but only if I want him to remain until I come. What is that to you? All this underscores simply the fact that God has a unique plan and purpose for each and every one of His servants. And God, by His sovereign decree and His infinite wisdom, has determined His plan, which is good and acceptable and perfect for your life. And what is best for you is to follow Christ and to serve Him wherever He sends you and wherever He leads you. And as Jim Elliot once said, wherever you are, be all there. Do not be in one place and your mind someplace else and your heart someplace else. Wherever you are, be all there. Plant yourself there and serve the Lord Jesus Christ with every inch and every ounce of you, and give everything that you have to give to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. You follow me. There is no greater privilege than to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spurgeon once said, if God has called you to be a servant, why stoop to be a king? Any other calling would be to sell out. Any other calling would be at best, second best for your life. couple years ago, I received a somewhat cryptic email that my secretary was able to detect and find out it was from a U.S. senator. The email asked, the next time I was on the East Coast, could I come by the U.S. Senate? That he was reading or was listening to my sermons and he would like to take me to the Senate dining room and talk to me about the things of the Lord. So I made my way to Washington, D.C. and he said, spend a day with me. Go to all my press conferences. Go with me wherever I move about the halls of the Senate. In the course of that day, he was holding a press conference and there were newspaper writers there. And in the course of that, he explained that I'm a pastor from Alabama. One of the newspaper writers actually asked me, was I here to declare my candidacy for the U.S. Senate? I said, sir, that would be a step down from being a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That would be the ultimate buy high, sell low proposition. For I am an ambassador of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I have been entrusted with the greatest and most glorious message that has ever been spoken on the face of the earth, that Jesus Christ has come into this world to save sinners, of which I am foremost. He has come to seek and save that which is lost. It is our privilege, it is our honor, it is our glorious blessing to be those ambassadors and messengers who are dispatched from the throne of grace and to represent Jesus Christ upon this earth and to say what He says and to bind what He binds and to loosen what He loosens. And there is no greater authority, there is no greater privilege than to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ.